This morning, we're going to be looking in the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 20. I'm going to read these verses, we will pray, and then we will get started. So Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20. And verse 10 says, "And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife. And they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh said her, and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen, and he asses and men servants and maid servants, and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, She is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had." Let's begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come now before you. We just praise you for this day that you've given us. God, we praise you for this assembly that you've established here and that we can come every Sunday and learn from your word. Father in heaven, I just ask that you'll be with our pastor as he's away. Keep him safe and healthy and just bless his ministry there in Ireland, as well as be with the members who could not make it to our services today. Be with them and keep them safe. And Lord, we just thank you for everyone that's assembled here today, and I pray that our hearts will be open to hear from your word, and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So, here in Genesis chapter 12, this is a key passage in Scripture, and it contains a key promise or covenant, which could be said as the linchpin of the Old Testament and a great piece of the entire Bible. And this is the what we call the Abrahamic covenant, a covenant or a promise that God made with Abraham. And so this covenant would be the foundational promise of what would be the nation of Israel. And so we see God's great promise here. He promises a mighty seed from Abraham's line. And he promises a land where this family, this nation, would live. And so God, he promises this to Abraham. And he's got a particular group of people that he wants in a particular location. Now, we're not going to focus too much on that promise. You could spend a great deal of time on the first half of Genesis chapter 12. However, in our passage today, the second half of Genesis 12, while attempting to obey Jehovah, we see that Abraham, he has a lack of faith when he faces a difficulty. Abraham is given this tremendous covenant and opportunity by the Lord Jehovah, but in his lack of faith, he almost wastes and squanders this opportunity and keeping this promise through lack of faith and disobedience. So ultimately, what we're going to see is that when Abraham got out of the will of God for a short period of time, sin came into his life. He endangered himself, he endangered his wife, and his life went from peace to chaos. And so there's many lessons that we can learn from Abraham. One of the key pieces here is Abraham, he commits to obey the Lord, But when we commit to obey the Lord and we say, I'm going to live a life for the Lord, I'm going to start walking in obedience, difficulty always follows on the heels of obedience to test the strength of our faith.
That's right.
And so we see this extremely clearly with Abram in this passage. And so those are some of the things I want you to keep in mind. Now, we're going to look at this passage within its context, scripturally, there in the Old Testament, but then we are also able to make some practical applications for us as we are in our walk, as we're attempting to walk in obedience. And one of the key things to understand is anytime you start a walk in obedience, the Lord's going to send that difficulty to test your faith. Oh, you're on fire for the Lord? Okay, well, let me bring this difficulty to you to see if you're actually serious. Is your faith really grounded, and are you serious about obeying me? Now, a few contextual points on the book of Genesis, so we have a framework for where we are in Scripture. The first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, is called the Pentateuch, and Moses writes these five books, and he writes them to the children of Israel as they are about to go into the land of Canaan. And so there's two contexts in our passage right now. The author who's writing Genesis 12, well, he's several hundred years down the line, and he's looking back and writing this history to give to the children of Israel at that time as they go into the land. So there's that context there of Moses writing this. Now Moses, the bigger purpose for that, he's preparing them. In Deuteronomy 34:4, he says, "This is the land which I swear unto Abram and Isaac and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed." And again, you're going to find that this Abrahamic covenant, or the land seed promise, is key in the Old Testament. God, he wanted his people to be in his land so that they could minister to the world. And ultimately, Jesus Christ would be born from this people in this land to be the Savior of the world. And so this is where this promise becomes so pivotal in the Old Testament. Now this land, as we're going to see, is the land of Canaan and the seed of Abraham. They would be this location the Lord would use. Now, furthermore, in the direct context of Genesis, where's Abraham fall in Scripture? So you start in Genesis 1, you have creation, and you skip several hundred years, and you come to Genesis chapter 6, where demons, angels, they cohabitate with man and produce giants, and giants are in the land. This isn't a fairy tale, this is scripture. And so giants are in the land, and the land is a complete abomination to its creator, the Lord Jehovah. And so the Lord, he sends a flood and destroys evil man, but he provides a way of salvation through Noah and his family and Noah's ark. And they survive, and so Noah, he has three sons. He has Japheth, Ham, and Shem. And what we find is Ham, he introduces alcohol back to the earth with, at that time, eight people. And so Noah, he gets drunk, and while he's drunk, his son Ham sodomizes him while he's drunk and in a stupor. And so the Lord curses Ham. Now, Ham, his descendants would all be cursed. Some of his descendants that we know of are the Canaanites and Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the descendants of Ham at that time would be cursed, and they were wicked, wicked people. Now, Shem, the Jews would come from Shem's line. Now, fast forwarding to Abraham in Genesis chapter 11. So if you look in Genesis chapter 11, you can see in verse 27, the family, immediate family of Abraham, Abram, says, "Now these are the generations of Terah. Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. So Terah had three sons, Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity in Ur of the Chaldees. All right, so you see a little about Abraham. Abram, he lives in Ur of the Chaldees with his family, his two brothers and his father. You look at verse 29, it says, "And Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarah, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, and the father of Iscah." Verse 30, it says, "But Sarah was barren. She had no children." So we see a few things here. We see Abraham's father was Terah, his two brothers, his nephew Lot, and his wife Sarah. And so here in Genesis chapter 11, it's setting the framework for the next few chapters. Some key people, Lot, and we see Sarah and Abram. And so these would be key people that the Lord is going to be working with and through. Now, that brings us to Genesis chapter 12. And so in our passage today, we're going to see a few clear pieces. We're going to see God's commandment. God's commandment to Abram was very clear. It was a clear promise, commandment and promise. And we're going to see Abram's initial obedience. He's, "All right, Lord, I'm going to obey you." And so he starts walking in obedience. But as he walks in obedience, difficulty comes right behind that obedience, and his faith is tested. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to see how Abram responds to this testing. And ultimately, we're going to see God's mercy on Abram. All right, so we look in verse 1, and it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." So this is the commandment. "Abram, it's time for you to leave. You need to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and you're going to go to a land that I will show thee." Now, in verse 31 of chapter 11, God works through Terah, his father, and it says, "They went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And before they went into Canaan, they went to Haran, where their father Terah would die." And so God, he had worked and told them, "You need to move to Canaan." This was going to be the place where Abram was going to live and establish his family in this line. Now, we already learned, though, about Canaan. Canaan was the descendants of Ham. They were a cursed people. So God was taking their land from them. "You guys are no longer going to live there. Ultimately, Joshua is going to destroy you, and we're going to establish." So the Canaanites were getting kicked out of their land, and God was going to put Abraham and his family there in the land. Now, we see there in verse 1, God tells him to separate from a few things. He says, "Separate from your country, your kindred," or your culture, "and your seed to partake in this new country, this new seed and land that I have for you." So God, he has a specific plan for Abram. Things aren't haphazard here. He tells him to separate. He says, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house." Now, a quick point of application for us as saved church members, when we are baptized after salvation, we're making a public testament that we are dead to our sins and raised into newness of life, just as Jesus Christ did when he was buried and rose again. Now, our calling as a Christian is to separate from our former life to enter into a far superior will of God for our life. So you see some comparisons here between God's commandment and call for Abraham compared to ours. But how often do we hold on to the old man and to our former life? We reject the blessings of salvation. We reject the victory that we have in salvation. How often do we refuse to enjoy these blessings of salvation so we can continue to wallow in our old man, in the sins of the old man?
That's right.
Part of it is we don't know what the Bible is saying about the blessings of salvation and our separation from sin. And so an individual can get saved, but as they don't grow in the Word, they're not going to see the blessings of salvation, and they will continue in sin. And so a few things to keep in mind. So here in verse 1, the Lord is saying you're going to separate from everything in your past life. You're going to separate from your land, that culture, your family, and you're going to a new place, a new land that I will show you. Now, verses 2 and 3, this is the promise. And again, we could spend a great deal of time on these first few passages or verses in chapter 12, but we're not going to spend our focus there today. So verse 2, it says, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God makes a covenant. And the two key words I want you to focus on in 2 and 3 is Jehovah God, the creator of earth, heaven and earth, is saying, I will. He says, I will twice. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. So that is a promise, a covenant that you can take to the bank.
Yes.
So Jehovah says, I will do it, and he will certainly follow through with those promises. And we will see that Jehovah, God, will keep those promises despite Abram's disobedience and lack of faith. And so God promises to make a great nation from Abraham's line, his seed. However, there's a few human problems with this. If you look in verse 30 of chapter 11, it says, but Sarah was barren. She had no children. So God makes this promise to Abram with that context. God knew Sarah was barren. Abram knew Sarah was barren. But God makes him this promise. I'm going to make a great nation from your line. Okay, that's a nice promise, but I don't know how that's going to humanly work. But again, focus on the I will. Jehovah says, I will do it.
Amen.
And so we see that first human problem. It's a problem for us, or a problem for Abram, but it's not a problem for the Lord. So in verse 4, you see Abram's initial obedience. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So Abram, he obeys and leaves Haran for Canaan. Okay, the Lord's calling me to something new. He wants me to separate from everything in my former life, and he's calling me to Canaan. Abraham is on board at this point. He knows the promise of the Lord. He knows his context. He knows his wife is barren, and he's got a nephew, a wife, and some herds of flocks, and he's going to obey. And so Abram, he embarks on this journey of obedience. And so in verse 4 there, we see that he initially obeys. Verse 5, it says, and Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. So, a few things. Before they went to Canaan, they stopped in Haran, where Abraham's deceased brother was. And they picked up, it says, a few souls and more substance. And so Abram's small group was growing. And all of them and everything they had, they obeyed and go into the land of Canaan. And there in verse 5, he repeats that. To go forth into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And so we see Abram, he takes those initial steps of obedience that no doubt were hard, leaving everything behind and bringing this pilgrimage of people and his family and servants and flocks all into the land. So verses 6 through 8, Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the place of Plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So Abram, he comes into the land with his family. And so they're coming in through the north from Ur. And they're coming into Canaan, and they're journeying through the land going south. And so as he obeys the Lord, he's coming into the land, and it's as if they're taking a tour from north to south of the land. In verse 6, it says, when they come to the plains of Moreh, it says Canaanites were in the land. And right away in verse 7, the Lord appears to Abram, and it says, and the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. So it's almost as if Abram, he's journeying through the land. They see these Canaanites who are well known for being wicked, occultic individuals. And maybe fear came upon Abram and his group. And the Lord immediately appears to him and says, hey, don't forget, unto thy seed will I give this land. And so the Lord encourages Abram as he's passing through the land and reminds him that I'm with you and I will give this land to you. So don't worry about those Canaanites that you're seeing. So Abram, he's obeying. And as he's obeying, they see Canaanites. That would be a difficult sight to see. Now remember, at this point, Abram, he's got a small group of people, but he's not a nation yet. So he's coming into these encampments of Canaanites who have been around for some time, who probably had resources to take over Abraham and his family. And the Lord encourages him that he is going to give him that land. So he continues going south, and they come to Bethel. And then to Hai, it says Hai, H-A-I, Hai, which is also the same place as Ai, that Joshua would, and the children of Israel would go through. And so there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. So up until this point, verses 1 through 8, wow, this is a great picture of somebody who's obeying the Lord and they're trusting the Lord. And they get to Hai, and he builds an altar to the Lord and praises the Lord and worships him there. And so up until this point, you see a man who's obeying and doing the will of God. Abraham is obeying the Lord. Remember, from a higher picture, the Lord has a plan for Abram. There's this little pericope here of Abraham's walk, but from the bigger perspective, the Lord was going to use Abram's seed and this land to bring forth a mighty nation that ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ would be born out of that line in that land to be the Savior of the world. So that's the bigger picture. But the Lord is using a fallible Abram to carry this out. And Abram's got a few problems. His wife is barren. And he's got this small group of people, and they're coming into this foreign land. And so Abram has all of this context, and we're going to see how the Lord uses this man with that context to fulfill his great promises. And so Abram is obedient up to this point. So as I said at the beginning, when we make steps of obedience, difficulties will be on the heels of obedience to test the strength of our faith. And so we see that here with Abram. He's obeying, he's doing the will of God. Verse 9, it says, and Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Verse 10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. So first, let's look at this famine. He's on target, but a famine. Now remember, this is an agricultural society, so they can't stop at Sam's Club to pick up more water for the sheep. So a famine is no water. When there's no water, there's no vegetation. When there's no vegetation, the animals become skinny and die off. And when there's no animals and no water and no vegetation, humans can't habitate or live. And so in an agricultural society, a famine was lethal and deadly, and something that would bring great worry to them at that time. So in 21st century, we think famine and, okay, we really got to understand the famine within this context. So Abram, he's got a family, he's got servants, and he's got flocks he's got to think of. All right, God, you told me to come into this land. I got this large group of people. Now there's a famine. What's going on? What are you sure this is where you wanted me to go? Are you sure this is what you wanted me to do? And so we see that we have this famine. This is going to be a major test of his faith. And so he's thinking to himself, wait a second, God. I've been obedient. You gave me a promise. Things were great. We were on fire for you. Now this famine, I don't know if we can do deal with this famine. And so the scripture tells us there was a famine in the land. And what does he do? Simply, does he build an altar and ask the Lord? Does he reflect on the promise the Lord already made in verses 2 and 3? And then again in verse 7. No, it says, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. Sojourn means to live, to temporarily live. Let me come down to Egypt and check it out. And we're just going to take a little break from God's will for now. And we're going to focus on getting everything squared away. God obviously wasn't anticipating this difficulty. So we're going to go take a mini vacation in Egypt and sojourn there. So Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. So we see here, it's at this point that Abraham deviates from the Lord's plan. Now you say, well, that's a very practical thing for Abraham to do. But that's not what God asked him to do. God's commandment was very clear. You need to go to the land of Canaan. And there I'm going to make a great nation out of you. Oh, and there's Canaanites there, but I'm going to give you that land. And so there was no wiggle room in God's command. However, when the difficulties come, we start to try and make wiggle room around God's commandments to make our justification of getting out of that commandment a little easier. So there was no wiggle room there. Go to Canaan, and that's where I want you. But Abram, he goes down to Egypt. Now, Egypt from Canaan was about roughly 350, 400 miles. So he goes way out of his way for refuge. So the other thing is, Abram, he deviates from the Lord's plan, and he has a plan B. And his plan B is practical. It's pragmatic. This makes sense. Now, why go to Egypt? Well, Egypt has the world's longest river, the Nile, 4,100 miles long. And it would empty out into the Mediterranean. And Egypt was known for being having lush vegetation because of the Nile. And certainly they could succumb, and they would succumb to a famine at one point. But at this time, this was the place to go. They had water and food. And so this is the practical place to go. So in his difficulty, wait, God said, stay in, go to Canaan. But you got this flashing light over here saying, Egypt, it's easy. All your problems are going to go away. And Abram, early on in his walk, he was 75 years old. Early on in his walk that we see, right from the starting gate, he deviates from God's plan. And sometimes that happens for us as new believers, or as a believer that's trying to reinvigorate their walk, and I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to start serving the Lord with my life and my assembly. And they're zealous out the start gate, and the Lord appreciates that obedience. But right out of the start gate, the Lord will allow difficulty to come. All right. Let's see how serious your faith is. How strong is your faith? You're going to still have that zeal when it's difficult to obey me. And so we see this test here for Abram. Quick point of application. James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." So the Lord brings trials to test our faith. He brings trials to make us more spiritually mature and spiritually complete. So there is a clear purpose in the trials and difficulties that the Lord allows during our walk of obedience. So we need to get rid of the mindset that we need a quick fix to our trials. We need a quick fix to our difficulties. Now each one is going to vary in time, but the Lord is very clear here, and he's very clear with James and throughout Scripture that these difficulties come. All right, you need to buckle in for some patience, and you need to let patience have her perfect work. Patience is working you, it's maturing you and completing you. That's what's going on during the patience. So during that waiting period, while you're waiting for a resolution, that's where the Lord is perfecting and maturing and completing you. And how is he doing that? Because during that time of patience, that's where you're running to the Lord in prayer. You're running to the Word of God. You're depending on him. And you're focused on the Word of God during that trial. And that's where it sharpens you, it completes you, it matures you. And so Abram, like many of us, he wanted the quick fix, the most practical thing. Yeah, I don't think this is for me anymore. We had a good run, Lord. I'm going to sojourn in Egypt. And so Abram, he does that, and so often we do that in our spiritual walk. So doing that leads to danger. So we're going to see the Lord is gives this example that when Abram left the will of God, sin started coming into his life, and he endangered himself and he endangered his family. Those things would have never happened if he had remained where the Lord had him. Verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, and it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." So Abram, once he leaves the will of God and he's in Egypt, now it's a downward slide spiritually for him. He's anticipating danger, and so he has to prepare for this danger with a lie and a ruse to deceive. And so he goes into Egypt. He's looking for refuge. He goes to Egypt for refuge instead of the Lord. He runs to Egypt and to Pharaoh and to man instead of running to the Lord. And when going to Egypt was dangerous. They were an established country. They had a government. They had an army. Abram's a ragtag group of his family and animals. And so Abram, he was defenseless going into this nation. And we see his choices were to stay in God's will in Canaan, but go through a famine, or leave God's will and go to an already dangerous country, but have the substance that you think you need there in Egypt. And so those were his choices. So once he leaves Canaan, he was disobeying the Lord, and he anticipates this danger with a lie. So what is the lie? He forges a lie that Sarah is his sister, and get Sarah to agree to carry out this ruse. Now, apparently at that time, why? What was the necessity of the lie? Why did he need to? Apparently, they would entreat a man for his sister. Okay, you give me your sister, and we'll make a trade. I'll give you some animals and sheep and this and that. And it just so happens my sister's here today. I would never do that. And so at that time, it was easier for other men to entreat a man for his sister than for his wife. You take the sister, we can make an exchange. But if you take my wife, that's going to drive wrath and contention, and we're going to have a confrontation. And so Abraham, knowing this, said, you're my sister. Or you're going to tell him you're my sister. So Abram, as well we see here, he's looking out for himself in this situation and not his wife. He's going to endanger his wife to get refuge in Egypt. So as he's leaving the will of God, he's not thinking correctly anymore.
Right.
He's now wanting to lie, and he's now not thinking of his wife and his family anymore, even though initially he thought, I'm trying to do the best for my family coming to Egypt. Once they get to Egypt, now he's, all right, honey, you're going to be my sister, and they're going to take you, and they're going to give me sheep and water and resources. That doesn't make sense anymore, Abram. And so he's going down this slippery path of sin. And so he's only concerned about himself, and he's endangering his own wife, allowing him to be taken away, or allowing her to be taken away by Pharaoh and his men. So in verse 14, we say, see, and it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. So Abram was right. They were going to find her attractive and be very interested into her. Verse 15, the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her. They praised her before her. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And so, as Abram predicted, they would be attracted to Sarah, because she was fair, she was beautiful. Now, the passage, it's assumed as that she carried out the lie, as we'll see in verse 18. But they apparently tell her, this is my sister, and they take her to Pharaoh's house. Now, the purpose of taking her to Pharaoh's house was to add her probably to his harem as a wife, and for immoral reasons. And so in verse 16, however, they're fine with this exchange because they think Sarah is the sister and not the wife. And so verse 16, it says, and he, Pharaoh, entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. So Abram, thank you very much for your sister. Here are animals. And so Abram makes this exchange. Now, that is very degrading to his wife, and to exchange his wife under the ruse of his sister in replacement for resources. And so we see as he leaves the will of God, now he's involved in sin he never thought he would be a part of. Wait a second. Abram, you were just having a conversation with Jehovah about how he was going to use you to do something great with your life. And you were obeying him. And however, you get out of the will of God, you disobey, and you start following your own plan. And now you're lying to Pharaoh, the most powerful human at that time. And you are giving your wife over to Pharaoh in exchange for resources for what you had originally thought was helping your family. And so when you get out of the will of God, it's going to take you to places you never thought you would ever imagine you would be in. And so this is where Abram is. And this is the clear and simple truth through this example. You get out of the will of God and obeying God and serving God, you're going to end up in sin and doing things you never imagined. And we're going to see that even Pharaoh thought, wow, this man, how could you do that? And we're going to see that. The world even scoffs at Abram. It says in verse 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. So some of the details are just, some of the details are given, but the passage doesn't go through the full narrative of Sarah lied, and how Pharaoh found out. But the Lord, he plagues Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. So the Lord plagues, at this point, the Lord intervenes. All right, Abram, enough. I had a plan for you, and now you are botching it all up. Your sin, your disobedience, your lack of faith. And so the Lord, remember in verse 2 and verse 3, he said, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. So the Lord made that covenant too. And the Lord was going to keep his covenant despite Abram's disobedience. And so the Lord intervenes and he plagues Pharaoh and his family. And apparently Pharaoh finds out that Sarah is actually Abram's wife. Verse 18, and Pharaoh called Abram. Abram, get here. And he says, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Verse 19, why saidst thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way. So the Lord, he intervenes. Enough, Abram, you are making a mess of my plan. He plagues Pharaoh. Pharaoh realizes that Abram lied. And so Pharaoh, the most powerful human at that time, confronts Abram. Abram with his small little group of people, this ragtag group of his family and animals. And so you have Pharaoh confronting Abram. Why did you tell me that she was your sister and not your wife? And he's indicating there in verse 19, so I might have taken her to me to wife. And so Pharaoh is rebuking Abram. So in Abram's sin, he's being rebuked by carnal, occultic Pharaoh of Egypt. He's being rebuked. Why would you tell me she's your wife? I was about to take her to be my wife. In my culture, that's fine. But I was about to have her as my wife, and you just gave up your wife like that? And so he's being rebuked by Pharaoh. And often in our lives, as we get out of the will of God and we're disobedient and you find yourself in sin, you might find yourself getting rebuked by the world. Why would you do such a thing? And when you're in that situation, you know you're out of the will of God when you're being rebuked by the world. And so we see Pharaoh here, he rebukes and confronts Abram for giving his wife. Who would do that? Who would lie about their own wife and say, she's a sister? I was about to take her and make her my wife. And why would you do that, Abram? Mm-hmm. And so Abram gets rebuked. And so Abram, he's in grave danger here. He's in grave danger. This is the most powerful man. Pharaoh could have just had him murdered right there, had him executed. However, the Lord intervenes, and Pharaoh says, first he says, behold, thy wife. Hey, Abram, take a look. This is your wife. Remember her, not your sister. He says, behold your wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. So Pharaoh, he pushes him out. He says, get out of here. Now you see a few things here. The Lord was going to keep his promise. I made a covenant with you, Abram. You're messing it up right now. You had a lack of faith when this famine came, and you run to the world. You ran to Egypt instead of running to me and relying on me to provide your needs during the famine. You leave and you fall into sin. And Abram's really messing it up. And we see here the Lord is clearly merciful on Abram. He could have been executed right there, him and his entire family. But instead, Pharaoh says, get out, take everything you have, and just leave. And so we see God's mercy on Abram. And how many times has God been merciful to us as we mess it up, as we get out of the will of God? We disobey, we fall into sin, and God shows us that mercy. And he gives us that second chance. Do we capitalize on that? So we see, if you look in Genesis chapter 13, we'll just look at these first three verses, and it says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. the south of Canaan. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. So, Abram, he takes this little detour, sojourning in Egypt. God, I don't know if you know what you're doing. I've been obeying you. There's a famine. I don't think you can handle this famine. So I'm going to go sojourn in Egypt. He sojourns in Egypt. He falls into sin. Grave sin. He's rebuked by the world. And the Lord's merciful to him. And Abram, he learns his lesson. He learns this severe lesson. He realizes that he could have been executed there. All that opportunity he had could have been squandered just by one act of disobedience. That's another key point for us as believers. We need to understand that disobedience can lead down these roads of sin, and one act of disobedience can ruin everything. Sin is going to bring chaos. Obedience brings peace and blessing. But sin is going to bring destruction and chaos, even to Christians. Christians can ruin their lives with sin. And so this act of sin could have completely destroyed Abram and his family. However, we see that God's merciful on him and allows this to be a detour in Abram's life. And he goes down to Egypt and learns a nice hard lesson and comes back up to the place they camped out there at the beginning in Bethel, where God made a promise with him. So that is this account here in Genesis chapter 12. There's many, many things that we can learn from this passage. Ultimately, in the direct context, the Lord was going to use Abram to, he was going to work through those barriers. He worked through the famine. He was going to work through Sarah being barren. She would have children, and they would grow to be a mighty nation that ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ would be born in Bethlehem, and he would be the Savior of the world. And so we see from a large aspect, the land and the seed promise was important to the Lord. But there on the front lines, the Lord makes this promise, but he's using fallible man to work out his promises and his will. And he's working through their obedience, their disobedience, their lack of faith, and their inconsistencies to ultimately allow his will to be done. But in through that, we see some of these very practical points that we can relate to in our walk with the Lord. And the key thing to take away is when we set out to be obedient, our obedience and our zealous zeal for the Lord is going to be tested with difficulty. Mm-hmm. And in difficulty, we have to let patience have her perfect work so we can grow and become mature and complete spiritually. We need to anticipate when you obey and the difficulty comes, you need to anticipate there's going to be that nice, easy exit right there. It's going to be flashing saying, this will solve all your problems. Mm. Do this. This whole will of God, patience, you don't want to do that. Nice, easy back door here that you can take and all your problems are going to be taken care of. Well, Abram took that exit door and it didn't work out for him. And we see in other accounts in Scripture that sometimes the Lord's mercy doesn't extend like it did in the case of Abram. Sometimes you take that easy exit door and it's going to lead to a life of destruction that you won't be able to recover from. And so we need to ensure that we remain obedient and faithful during the difficulties. Let's conclude in prayer. Father, we come to you now. We just thank you for your mercy on each one of us. And we just thank you for the ability to be able to come and learn from your word. Father, I just pray that you'll bless the rest of these services and pray in Christ's name. Amen.